Welcome to Liberty Vineyard. Welcome to Sunday. We'll pray and then start. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, meet us today in this moment as we open the scriptures to hear from you. Meet us in all the various ways you communicate with us. Surprise us with hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. What's in a dream? What's in a dream? One of my first piano books had songs with dreams in the title, like Beautiful Dreamer, or I Dream of Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair. What are some of the songs that you know that have dreams in the title? Sweet Dreams? Dream On? Daydream Believer? Okay. Now, in the Christmas carols, we have like, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. One of the ones, O Little Town of Bethlehem, talks about dreamless sleep. So today we're going to look at some significant dreams in Scripture. The sermon title for today is What's in a Dream? Since today is the first Sunday in Advent, let's start with Joseph, the fiancé of Mary. Joseph and Mary are betrothed to be married. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. Now we know from Luke's gospel that an angel appeared to Mary and greeted her. And the angel told Mary that she had been chosen to carry the Messiah. And Mary asked, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel explained the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and the child born would be the Son of God. And Mary responded, be it unto me according to your word. Well, we don't get that in Matthew. In Matthew, it starts with the genealogy of Jesus. Chapter 1 starts the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. So here, Jesus is the son of David, the king, and also the son of Abraham, who God promised back in Genesis, would have descendants like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. In chapter 1, skip down to verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. That's important. We went to Bethlehem, Alan and I, and they're still telling that story. 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. You visit the church there, and there's a humbleness door that you go through, the Church of the Nativity, and you have to bend down low to get in there. 14 generations. In the genealogies of Matthew, there are four key women mentioned as well: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and the wife of Uriah. And then we read these words in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So we see that Joseph was planning to put Mary away privately. Joseph really loved Mary and did not want to see any harm come to her. In those days, when women were found to be pregnant out of wedlock, they could receive the death penalty. They could be stoned to death. In some countries, even today, if a woman is found to be pregnant out of wedlock, it brings great shame to the family. And in the shame and honor cultures, women can be killed in what is known as an honor killing. To protect the honor of the family, a pregnant woman goes missing permanently. And so, Joseph, a man of honor, does not want to humiliate Mary or have her disposed of, so he comes up with a plan to hide her away in a private location, to put her away privately. It's like a quiet divorce. And betrothal in those days was very serious, more serious than what we think of in the West when we say we're engaged to be married. Joseph could put her away and would not be obligated to marry her, would go on with his life, perhaps with another wife, and Mary would get to live, but not with Joseph. And while Joseph was planning these plans of how to honor and not shame Mary, he went to sleep one night. And we read in verse 20 that as he considered these things, an angel appeared to him and told him not to be afraid to take Mary. And so the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. The angel appeared to Mary when she was awake, but when Joseph was sleeping, the angel appeared. And when Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The angel said, "The child she's carrying is God's son, and this son is to be named Jesus." And Joseph did what the Lord commanded. Mary became his wife, and he did not sleep with her intimately until Jesus was born. He awoke from the dream with a new assignment. A new man with a new assignment. The dream was significant. The angel of the Lord appeared to him clearly. And when Joseph and Mary were betrothed, neither one of them knew that God had something special for their lives. We saw that Mary was visited when she was awake, and Joseph was visited when he was asleep. And they both knew they were engaged in obeying the Lord and fulfilling what the Lord had called each of them to do. And then we see that Joseph responds to what the angel had directed him to do. And there are more dreams to come. What's in a dream? Dreams held the key to the future of Jesus' incarnation and childhood. Joseph obeyed the angel from the dream, took care of Mary, and named the baby boy Jesus. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And as we're in this season of Advent, a good spiritual question is, how is God with us today in this season? Emmanuel, God with us, how is God with us? Now let's look farther down in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men, the magi, come from the east. They had seen a star in the east, and they knew a king had been born, and they came to worship. And they went to Herod and asked, where was this child? And we're going to skip down to verse 9 because Herod was troubled, and he found out from the scribes and the chief priests that this child would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so Herod wanted them to come back and report, as we remember. But verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. What's in a dream? The wise men were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. They obeyed the warning dream, and they went home to their country another way. Then Joseph has another dream. Let's look at verse 13. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Joseph obeyed the instruction to rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And after that, Herod became so angry and sent and killed all the male children under 2 years of age. And then Joseph had another dream. Skip down to verse 19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and the mother and went to the land of Israel. So here we see Joseph receiving specific directions in another dream. And he left Egypt and went back to the land of Israel. What's in a dream? Verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. "He shall be called a Nazarene." Here are more specific instructions with a warning dream. And that is how Jesus came to be called a Nazarene, from Nazareth. So in chapters 1 and 2 of Matthew, we have 5 dreams. Joseph has 4, and the wise men have 1 dream. Joseph does not speak a word in Scripture. We have no record of his voice. We just have a record of what he did, how he dreamed, and how the angel appeared, and how he obeyed. Now let's look back at some of the other times we find God speaking through dreams in Scriptures. We're going to go to Genesis 28. We might remember that when Jacob was running away from his angry brother Esau, you know, he had stolen the birthright, and Esau had every right to be angry, and Jacob was sent to his uncle Laban's house. In Genesis 28, verse 10, early in the morning, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you your offspring, in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I'm with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, and Bethel means house of God. God revealed God's insight, favor, and promise to Jacob in this dream of the ladder with the angels ascending and descending. And Jacob heard the Lord promise to be with him and called the place Bethel, which means house of the Lord. And you can read chapter 30 later where it's a lesson in animal husbandry. Jacob has a dream about the speckled and spotted and how to breed the speckled and spotted animals, and so he could grow in wealth, because he had this deal with his uncle Laban that all the speckled and spotted would belong to him. And so he strategically arranged for them to multiply speckled and spotted animals, and then he was able to leave his uncle Laban's house and go on with great wealth. Now Jacob went on to have 12 sons, and one of his sons, Joseph, was a dreamer. This is a different Joseph than Joseph, the husband of Mary. This is Joseph, the son of Jacob. Now in Joseph's life, there are 6 significant dreams. 2 Joseph has that he tells to his brothers, and they involve bowing down, and the interpretation of the dream would be that the brothers and the father would be bowing down to him. And so the brothers were quite jealous and sold him into slavery and sold him to the Midianites, and they took him down to Egypt, and he was in Egypt and doing well, and then found himself in prison because of a false accusation. We remember this story. But while he's in prison, he's with the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and they have dreams. And Joseph prays and interprets the dreams of the chief baker and the chief cupbearer, and they come true. And then Joseph says to them, "Remember me when you get out of this place." 2 years go by, and they didn't. The baker lost his life. His dream resulted in him being cut off from the land of the living. But the chief cupbearer went on to live and serve in the presence of the Pharaoh. And one day, the Pharaoh had 2 dreams. And the cupbearer knew that Pharaoh had dreamed these 2 dreams, and the Pharaoh wanted an interpreter. And then the cupbearer remembered, there was this Hebrew named Joseph in prison, and he can do this. So they sent for him. And we'll go to Genesis 41. Genesis 41. We're going to go to verse 14, and we're going to read verses 14 to 16 and then skip to 25. So Genesis 41, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. And I've heard it said that of you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It's not me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Now we're going down to 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about." And now verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there's none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. And so what's in a dream? Joseph was able to pray, and the Lord gave him interpretations. Joseph found favor with Pharaoh and rose to prominence in Egypt to implement the strategy to prepare for the famine by storing up grain for the years of plenty. Now, in Numbers 12, we have in the times of Moses, the Lord speaking to Aaron and Miriam with Moses present. We're going to go to Numbers 12, starting in verse 3. I have mine all marked. I should give you a minute to get there. And they said, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, hear my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. And so we see the Lord speaks in visions and dreams and some riddles. One of the interesting dreams is in Judges 7 with Gideon. I just puzzle over this one. But Gideon was called when he was in the wine press, remember? And he was kind of cowering in the wine press, we might imagine. And the Lord says, mighty warrior. And Gideon's like, who, me? You know, and so the Lord raised up Gideon to defeat the Midianites. And the Lord's going to send Gideon down into the battle to hear a dream. In Judges 7, let's start in verse 9. That same night, the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I've given it to you in your hand. But if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his comrade answered, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. So here's this barley loaf that's the sword of the Lord. And soon, as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped and he returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand. So Gideon, overhearing a dream and the interpretation, took courage, took strength, and was able to get the warriors together to fight in this battle. Now we're going to go to 1 Kings 3 for Solomon. And the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. And that's in verse 5. And then it goes on. And then verse 10, it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, which was asking for wisdom. And God said to him, because you've asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what's right, Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Verse 15, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Solomon asked for wisdom in a night conversation with the Lord in a dream. What's in a dream? There's so many others we could do. We could look at Daniel, and we could look at Nebuchadnezzar's dreams and how Daniel interpreted those, and we could look at other dreams and visions in the Old Testament. And I just shared a few of the more well-known ones. And we saw in the New Testament the dreams of Joseph and the wise men. And then there was the dream that Pilate's wife had before Jesus was crucified. And then after Jesus ascends into heaven and they're waiting in the upper room, the day of Pentecost fully came, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter stands up to preach a sermon in Acts 2. And we'll go to Acts 2. And Peter is quoting the prophet Joel in Acts 2:16. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Amen. Dreams were not just Old Testament ways that God communicated with God's people, God's kings, God's prophets. God used dreams to help Joseph marry Mary, take Jesus to Egypt, bring Jesus home from Egypt, settle in Nazareth. God used a dream in Pilate's wife's sleep to warn Pilate about Jesus before Pilate gave the order to crucify Jesus. God used dreams in the early church and used dreams and visions in the church fathers and mothers of the faith, and God still speaks in dreams and visions. Some of us have had more dreams than others. What's in a dream? It could be our own thoughts. It could be a time when our defenses are down and the Lord can give us insights at night. Testing the dream, how do we feel when we wake up? Are we more drawn to Jesus? Was it a warfare thing? Did we have to fight in our dream? Is the dream a mystery to be unlocked that we need to pray for the interpretation? Dream language is sometimes clear, and sometimes dreams need to be interpreted. Just because we have a dream, it does not follow that what we dream is guaranteed to happen. Sometimes intercessors get warning dreams so they can pray. Some of us get instructions in our dreams we need to follow, as long as the instructions line up with Scripture and what we know of God's character. And we can share our dreams with one another and say, do you make any sense of this? Dreams have keys that unlock messages for us or for our prayers. What's in a dream? When we awaken, we can write down the dream and ask the Lord, what would you like me to know from this dream? Alan and I took classes on dreams and visions more than 20 years ago. And at the time, I was very disciplined to write down my dreams. I had a pen that lit up at night, and I could keep a journal by my bed and write it down. And there were significant dreams in that time, and I remember them because I wrote them down. And I have really gotten casual about that, and I have not been doing the writing down. So by the time breakfast happens, I may not remember the dream. And so I've had these conversations with the Lord about maybe I need to get back to writing down the significant dreams. One of them that I remember was about a pair of blue jeans. And it was this night riddle, and it was a play on words about blue and jeans. And if you know the Lord, sometimes these plays on words, you know, it's something for us to figure out and to search out with Him. And blue had something to do with like a history of depression. And the jeans had something to do with a family history, like the genetics. So blue jeans, this pair of blue jeans turned out to be blue, like depressed, in the jeans. And so I had to pray and ask the Lord to heal my history so that he could propel me into my destiny. And there was such a powerful healing there. And Alan was in ICU about 8 years ago, and he had dreams, and he had like papers that he had to present at the border, and he was traveling. He was like half asleep on this, you know, they make you fall asleep, you know, and keep you asleep so you don't pull tubes out and all that. But he remembers doctors talking, he remembers dreams, he remembers having papers that he had to have to get through the checkpoint. And standing there so weak and wondering if he'd get through the checkpoint. And the Lord met him and healed him, and he got through the checkpoint, and he's here with us today. And a few weeks ago, Zach talked about his music students and their commitment to practicing, and he teaches them from the very beginning to practice, practice, practice. And I need to practice this again. I've grown cold, I think, and coming to Advent this year, I've had this new enthusiasm about God still speaking in dreams and visions. And I had lost my appreciation for night speech because it's work. You don't always get an angel with clear directions. You get these riddles, and it's work to figure out what's God saying. And so, anyway, we're not just talking about pizza dreams here or indigestion or watching too many scary video dreams. We're talking about spiritual dreams in the night seasons where God helped us, healed us, and gave us courage. Some of you have dreams. Some of you have dreams in the night, and you either don't remember them or don't know what to do with them. Write them down. Write down how you feel when you wake up. Was the dream in black and white or in color? Were there persons in the dream you recognized? Was the dream interactive? Could you change the outcome inside your dream? Was there a message from your dream that you remember? You know, we just be reminded from Joel chapter 2 and Peter's sermon that God still gives young men visions and old men dreams, and he pours out his spirit on all sons and daughters. So whether you have the gift of the prophetic, the gift of dreaming dreams, the gift of seeing visions, it's the Lord who gives the gifts. And we have the gifts given to us to encourage and to exhort and to comfort the body of Christ. What's in a dream? It could be your next instruction from the Lord. Amen. Maybe it's time to dream a new dream. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we know you speak in many ways to us. Scriptures say that in these last days you've spoken to us through your Son, our Lord Jesus. Jesus, we want to see you, to hear you, to experience your presence. Help us to appreciate and exercise the gifts you've given to us for your honor and glory and the kingdom of God. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. After the benediction, if you would like prayer this morning, please meet the prayer team over here on my left, your right. We would like to pray for your dreams, the ways you hear the Lord, your broken dreams, your anticipations, and we're here to pray with you and for you. And now hear the benediction based on verses from Psalm 126. May we be like those who dream when we see the Lord keep his promises. May our mouths be filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. May we see the great things the Lord has done and declare them among the nations. May those of us who sow seeds in tears come back reaping with shouts of joy. May you bless your people, O Lord, with peace, joy, and hope today. Amen.